We are Two Guys Gaming. Hello and welcome. As always, even though we are under the Two Generations Gaming banner, this is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, Noob of All Trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series, I am reading and reacting to Ready Player One, the novel by Ernest Cline. In this episode, I'm going to cover Chapter 2 and Chapter 3. It's a couple of days late. I think I said I was going to do Wednesday and Sunday, but we were away all this week for school vacation. So I'm recording this episode today, and hopefully I can get the next episode, Chapter 4 and Chapter 5, out to you tomorrow. Chapter 2. This gives us an introduction into a quote-unquote day in the life in the Oasis simulation. Wade logs into a school in front of his locker. Inside the locker, a Leia poster, Monty Python group photo from Holy Grail, a Time cover with Halliday on the front. He moves his books to his inventory with a tap. Poor in the real world, also poor in the Oasis, he gives some insight into the school in the virtual world. He must use approved avatars in the school setting. There's no PvP, which the author narrator helpfully explains. Parenthetically, more on that. Your avatar name also needs to be your actual name. Outside of school, it can be anything. He makes comparisons between that and URLs in our virtual space, i.e. squatters making coin off of famous brands. His actual avatar name went through the initial cringe of many online identities before settling on a misspelled version of Percival after the knight who found the Holy Grail. To take it back to Dragonlance from the previous series, it reminds me of the early days in my World of Warcraft, a mage is named Raistlin with a Y and two N's and some shit. He speaks a bit about the anonymity of Oasis and how the Supreme Court protected those rights. Pay attention, because that's about to become a major plot point. He follows up on the avatar names in school with relatable and humorous examples. As a teacher, I appreciated them looking out for us by not making us say pimp underscore grease or big wang 69. He makes his way to the classroom and gives mechanics on how to move around Oasis. Musing during his trip, without much of a future, he says that his only choice is to go into gunting full-time. He gets hassled by some douchebag and gives back as good as he gets. Victorious, parenthetically, question mark. He bitches out a bit by muting the guy. I suppose you could say that he prevented escalation, but this is when he says no fighting because the school is no PvP. The bullying followed him from real-world school, which he attended until 6th grade. Poor and overweight, he's an ideal target for insecure douchebags to pick on. When Oasis offered schooling, he jumped at the chance. Before being offered, he never left the beginner lobby because he was too poor to afford the travel. But school online gave him the opportunity to avoid the perils of offline life, both during his daily trip to school and once there. He uses the magic word to describe it. School in Oasis is safe. Still before the start of school, he sees that the avatars in attendance are, quote-unquote, engaged. This means they are doing other things online while waiting for class to start. He chooses to start by going to one of the popular Gunter webpages called The Hatchery. The site mirrors the prehistory of the internet with and bulletin board services. Other than reiterating the mess that the Gunter community devolved into, he uses the opportunity to talk about a sect called Sixers. They gun for a large corporation. They all use the same avatar and their ID, which starts with Six as their Oasis moniker. Innovative Online Industries, parenthetically, can you be any more generically evil with your name? Wants to win the fortune, take over Oasis, and turn it into a commercial enterprise to their benefit. His final stop in the chapter is a blog maintained by a female guy in real life, parenthetically, Gunter, named Artemis, with a 3 in the E. He admits to a crush on the avatar and talks about the pitfalls of falling for online personas. Her latest post muses about John Hughes' quote-unquote dorky girl fantasies and quote-unquote dorky boy fantasies. If you're my age, several of your favorite movies are name-checked. If you're my kid's age, results may vary. They loved Ferris Bueller. My oldest deemed Breakfast Club quote-unquote boring. I mean, he's not wrong. At the end of the chapter, his friend quote-unquote H, spelled A-E-C-H, invites him to hang in the quote-unquote basement. With a half hour until class, he accepts. I will admit that it took me way too long to realize that H was pronounced H, and the author had to tell me that that's how it was pronounced, but that's neither here nor there. Chapter 3. The basement is a chat room. In Oasis, they exist as a type of private server. In Oasis, they exist as a type of private server hosted temporarily only when needed. This one looks like any number of quote-unquote wood-paneled rec rooms from the 1980s. For me, it evokes one that often passes through my feed on the Atari pages I follow. I'm sure if you searched quote-unquote wood-paneled 80s rec room, you'd find it on the first page. Think crappy old tube TV with rabbit ears and a television, parenthetically instead of, or maybe in addition to an Atari, VCR and Laserdisc attached, and a huge couch centered around the TV. We learn that H is some hotshot PvP bro, and that's how he affords the chat room. Wade sees about a dozen other Gunters hanging there too. The two friends sit down to play some television. This leads to a brief description of their friendship. Think typical gamer guy shit-talking, sharing of common interests, and way too much time playing video games. If you have no experience or reference point, the author provides a prime example. Casual mention of a magazine cover and a loss in the video game leads to a war of words about the movies Lady Hawk and Star Wars. It gets heated. The others gather in anticipation of feelings genuinely getting hurt. Lord of the Flies proved years ago, and it remains true. Preteen and teen boys are feral. Their focus shifts when common quote-unquote enemy logs onto the chat room. Some self-important loser named IROK, parenthetically spelled wrong in lead speak, I-R-0-K, immediately takes the heat from both of them. After giving him a healthy amount of shit, they get into a pissing contest about the Sword Quest series. Apparently they ran a contest around the games with prizes associated with the series. IROK concedes, then assuages his bruised ego with the old, quote-unquote, get a life, guys. The chapter ends with a 3-minute warning until the day starts. H confesses that he only keeps IROK around as a punching bag. Before heading to class, they make plans to hang out after school. He suggests Spaced, a show that I enjoyed immensely. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, how can you go wrong, right? And now for my reaction. First, because I made a habit of this from the first series, let me address the negative. Having done some research due to my discovery of the quote-unquote controversy surrounding the book, I admit to analyzing with a different lens than if I simply read the book without that context. With that being said, I understand what other people said about the book. I don't necessarily agree, but I sympathize. This chapter showed the worst tendencies of boys when left to their own devices. Okay, maybe not the worst. In this scene, they only hurled childish insults at one another. In Lord of the Flies, they sacrificed some poor kid to their testosterone god. So yeah, some quote-unquote your mom and quote-unquote get good noob insults pale by comparison. But as a parent and a teacher, I always tell the boys in my life that it's a joke until it isn't. I think the author shows that well in both cases, where the war of word escalates. Sooner or later, in the name of one-upsmanship, feelings get hurt. Never could I understand why, but by admitting that, I'm sure a few of you are calling me a beta cuck now. Never mind that all of that bullshit, alpha beta bullshit, is based on flawed science and a failed study. You strong, me weak. Yeah, let's leave it at that for now. One of the articles I read mentioned the gatekeeping is a huge problem in the online culture. I noticed this too, that as nerd culture became pop culture, all those previously bullied kids started acting just like the bullies they supposedly hated. Let me list. A. I understand quote-unquote what's good for the goose mentality, but I also don't. Having known that hurt yourself, why inflict it on others? The world could do with more kindness and less hurt. I know, hippie beta cuck. B. Why would you not want more people to enjoy the things you enjoy? That gives you more people to discuss things that bring you joy. I love that Marvel is now so big that people I never thought would be fans post regularly about movies and TV shows they watch and enjoy. C. Who cares who liked what first? You knew Nirvana before everybody else? Good on you for living in the Pacific Northwest in the late 80s, early 90s. You remember the Infinity War series from the comics? Congratulations on being a virgin in high school in the 80s and 90s. Also, guess what? Thanks to modern technology, if you weren't a douchebag about it, you could introduce new people to the comics that you enjoy. D. Not everything is for you. Maybe if it's not, it's just not. Don't like Miles Morales as Spider-Man? Jane Foster as Thor? Pride covers? Just, move on with your life. If they bring someone else joy or relief or simply a feeling of acceptance, how does that affect you in any way, shape, or form? Well, if you told me a couple weeks ago that this silly book slathered in 80s nostalgia and Game Boy culture would spark an in-depth analysis of nerds and society in general, I might have believed you. I obviously wanted to open with, quote-unquote, I'd be surprised, and then talk about the reasons why. But honestly, I think about these ideas all the time and constantly look for a reason to discuss them. So I have a feeling that in future chapters and as the book goes on, we'll talk about all of this stuff more. But for now, aside from all that, I enjoyed reading about everyday life in the Oasis simulation. Like I said earlier, I appreciate his thinking of us teachers with the real name stipulation for being in the school, in the classroom. The author does a good job of setting up an eventual conflict with this IOI company. Again, it's kind of silly, the name, and it takes you out of the fiction a little bit because you're thinking about how silly it is. But as long as you can deal with that, the rest of the book flows pretty well. Aiden came down yesterday while we were watching something on TV. I think it was Better Call Saul. The latest season is finally on Netflix, or the first part of the latest season is finally on Netflix. So we were watching that, and Aiden came down, and he said, I watched that Ready Player One movie. It was pretty good. And I reiterated that, yeah, it's not a great book, but it's not a terrible book either. It's just one of those books that just kind of exists, and I'm looking at it again through a different lens because of what I discovered in my research. But other than that, I'm enjoying the book for what it is. I like that he's cut out some of the nostalgia that he had in the earlier chapters. I don't think I could have done a whole book of, hey, remember this, wasn't this cool? Or hey, remember this, wasn't this lame? That sort of thing. I just don't think I could have done an entire book of that. But just kind of dropping these references in like the Sword Quest contest, which I honestly never knew about. And it was interesting learning about, even if it was in the context of, you know, crappy gamer guy culture. It was still fun to hear about, and it was still fun to learn about. Supposedly, as the book goes on, it does become that, where it's like, this rules, this sucks, kind of thing. And I don't know if I can do that for an entire book. We'll see if that actually happens, or if that was just the author sort of focusing on the part of the book that they wanted to tear apart. But if it does, I have a feeling that I'm going to lose interest in this book pretty quickly, because I like how the book is flowing so far, and I don't want it to lose that flow. He's doing a good job introducing new characters. He dropped in Artemis, who I know is going to play a big role later on. He puts this H kid in there as well. And like I say, it took way too long for me to figure out that AECH spelled phonetically H, which I think is kind of funny that English is like that, that you actually need more letters to quote-unquote spell the letter than the letter itself. It's kind of an irony of language that I enjoy. But I don't think that I'm going to experience it in the same way that a lot of these people did who found it to be obnoxious and the worst parts of the Gamergate culture. Experience through school, that was me. I was that kid who got bullied and picked on, and I was poor, and I dressed not great. And then when I got to high school, it was a private high school, which was great for my education, but it wasn't great for the social aspect for me. I made friends, obviously, but I didn't make as many friends as I could have. And now, looking back on it, it's fine, because now as you get older and people grow up, you start to realize that other people had a lot of the same experience as you did. And if you could have that experience back then, maybe it would have been better for me. But the fact that I'm having it now is kind of healing some of those wounds from the past. So I don't think I'm going to experience the book like some of these other people who saw it as gatekeeping and the worst parts of Gamergate. I never really got into Gamergate either. If it was on Twitter, then I completely ignore Twitter for the most part. I pop in every once in a while just to take a look at something here or there, or maybe somebody posts a funny tweet or something like that. But I think that Twitter is just a bunch of people talking themselves in 140 characters. I guess it's 280 characters now or whatever, but that's all I've ever saw Twitter as. So the whole Gamergate Twitter whatever. I was kind of on the periphery, as I often am with these things, and I just didn't care all that much to get any more involved than that. So as long as the book doesn't just devolve into what it was the first couple of chapters, and as long as we get these character development and the plot moving forward, then I think I'll enjoy this book. If you read it and you want to get in touch, if you haven't already, you can find us at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles there. I'm starting to ramp up the articles again. I'm doing a series on the latest Hearthstone expansion that I'm going to finish up today and tomorrow. There's links to our socials, including our YouTube, which I put up a couple of videos over the last few days. Again, I'm going to try to get back into the swing of things with the calendar. I think I'm going to push it off until May to give myself a chance to ramp back into it and get caught up from the last couple of weeks that I've been doing, or that I haven't been doing it. I will hopefully be back tomorrow to record the next couple of chapters, but I haven't even read the chapters, so it's more likely going to be Monday or Tuesday to record. But whenever I am back, I will talk to you then. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
We are.